You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a pleasure to be here again, another Saturday evening to bring forth the Word of God. God is good to us. His mercy towards us is great. His grace is great. He's just looking out for us, taking care of us, and we want to be grateful. We want to give thanks for His Word to us. And His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. If we continue to walk in His Word, to obey His Word, we will not stumble along this journey. We will have a life that is filled with joy and peace. Even in the midst of trials, we will still be rejoicing because we have learned to understand that Christ is with us every step of the journey, and He is above all. He's greater than all. He's the exalted one, so we want to exalt His name. We want to give Him thanks for keeping us and bringing us here another Saturday evening. We're going to be continuing in the epistle of James, the letter of James. And James, as we know, wrote to the 12 tribes. These were the Jewish Christians that were scattered abroad. And we are going to be continuing from verse 15, where we left off last week, verse 15. Of James chapter 1. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this another privilege to call upon your name. We thank you that you are God and that you hear the cry of your children. And oh God, as we come this evening, oh God, to sit and to hear your word, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will lead and that you will guide us. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will open our hearts to receive your word. That, oh God, we will see the need to exercise our faith, not just being hearers of your word, oh God, but being doers of your word, bringing honor and glory to your name. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will keep our minds focused upon you, the word. Jesus Christ, you are the word. We pray today that we will come into that intimate relationship with you, Jesus, who is the word. That, oh God, each time, oh God Almighty, we respond, oh God, in situations, we will respond according to your word. So, Lord, we thank you again for what you are doing in this season. Thank you for the hearts that are being changed. Thank you, oh God Almighty, Lord Jesus, that your love will be expressed, oh God Almighty, to one another, oh God, as we continue on this journey. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, and we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Amen. So last week we stopped at verse 15 of James chapter 1, which tells us, James said, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So James states that when lust, or our fleshly desire, is conceived in our minds, and that's where it is conceived, people of God, lust starts in our minds, and then it produces sinful actions. And after that is done, it works for our detriment. It brings forth death. And this death can be either spiritual death or physical death. Remember, we said that sometimes some of the things that we do, some of the sinful acts have deadly consequences. So we don't want to be dabbling with sin. We want to run away from sin. We want to live a life free from sin, live a life holy and godly, pleasing to our God and our Father. Verse 16 of James chapter 1, it said, do not err, my beloved brethren. James warned the brethren not to be deceived. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And James called them beloved. He was speaking with such love, such endearment, and warning them with that sweet tone. Do not err. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So this was a nice warning in the sense that he was speaking with such love and endearment, but he was reminding them in such a nice way, warning them not to be deceived, not to be deceived. And this word is for us too. During this time, people of God, let us not be deceived. The enemy is out there, he's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So let us walk in the abundant life. Let us ask the Holy Spirit just to empower us, to keep us, to guide us, to keep us in Christ, in fellowship with Christ, that we will not err from the truth of God's word. We will not be deceived, but we will walk in truth and honesty. Verse 17 of James chapter 1. The word of God said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So James was reminding the saints that every good gift and complete gift is from our Heavenly Father, who is the Father of lights. In him there is no darkness at all, the word of God tells us. And all his gifts are given with pure motives, with whom is no variation. There's no deviation. There's no change in him, no alternative. He is immutable, so he's not going to change and say, I'm not going to give you no good gift. No, all good gift comes from him, and he will not change his mind about giving good gift to us. So we have a good Father, our Heavenly Father, who give good gift to his children. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights, and we have to know that he desires for us partake of the good gift that he gives. And we know that he has given us the gift of salvation. And the word of God tells us, by grace are we saved through faith. By grace, that unmerited favor, that gift we don't deserve, but he saved us. By grace, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Not of our works. He's the one who gives us all the good gift. Every good gift that we receive is from God. And when we read in Matthew 7, 9 through 11, Jesus was speaking here. He said, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So Jesus was comparing even the Father here on earth, our human fathers. They will give good gift, and they are evil in the sense that they were born with that evil nature. But our good Father, our Heavenly Father, the Father of light, in whom there is no darkness at all, he is the one that gives only good gift. So James made it so clear here. Every good gift and every perfect gift, every good and every complete gift is from our Heavenly Father. And he does not change. He does not change. So we have a good Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love, and lavish us with only good gifts. For that's all he can give, only good gift. He cannot give anything that is not good, because he is good. Only goodness is found in him. Verse 18 of James chapter 1. The word of God said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So James was saying that it is of the will of the Father why we are saved. Of his own will he begot us. Of his own will he brought us forth. Of his own will he took us out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin, into his marvelous light. People of God, of his own will he did it for us. The word of God tells us in John 15, verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So we did not choose Jesus, but he has chosen us and ordained us. We did not choose the Lord, but he chose us. So he's the one who begot us of his own will, that we should be a kind of what? First fruit. He begot us of his own will. We were born again by the word of truth, that we should be a kind or the best or the choicest of his creation. People of God, we are the first fruit, the best, the choicest of his creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. All things are passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. So we are the first fruit. We are the chosen of God. We are the choicest. We are the best of his creation. Those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. He has begotten us of his own will. That's why we are saved. So people of God, we have to come to understand that we owe the Lord Jesus Christ everything for becoming that ultimate sacrifice for us, for dying for us, that today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are to go forth and we are to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to go and display the image of Jesus Christ, walking by faith, living by faith, showing our faith active, actively living for Jesus Christ, living an exemplary lifestyle, bringing honor and glory to the name of our King. So we have to know that we are begotten of him. We came forth from him. He's the one who saved us. We couldn't save ourselves. We were not in a position to save ourselves. And he has made us to be kind of first fruit, choices, the best of his creation. And we are called to show forth his glory and his praise. Verse 19 of James chapter 1, the word of God says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So James was saying to the saints, because they are God's first fruit, they are God's best, or his choices of his creation, they should represent him well. And so this is for us too, people of God. We are God's choices. We are God's first fruit. We are to show forth his glory. We are to represent him well. We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So James said, this is how you're going to behave. You must be quick to hear, or quick to listen, but slow in giving an answer. You must not be quick to respond. Because when we are quick to respond, we respond many times according to what our mind tells us, not according to the word of God. So James was just reminding the brethren, this is how you learn how to show forth God's glory and praise. Be quick to listen, quick to hear. Make sure you hear what the other person is saying. but slow to respond, slow to give an answer. Because when we take time, during that time when you are listening and hearing what that person say, you can be speaking in your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, give me a response. Give me a word to answer this question. Give me a word to give this person. And the Lord will, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the word that you have learned, and you will give the correct answer, bringing glory and honor to the name of Christ. So the word of God says we should be quick to hear, slow in giving an answer, and slow to become angry. Because people of God, when we respond quickly according to what our mind tells us, we will become angry, because sometimes a person says something that offends us. And because we have a quick response from our minds, we become so angry, we respond in anger instead of responding by the word of God. So we have to understand God's word, and we have to know that we are called to wisdom. We are called to respond in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Let us turn to the wise man Solomon and see what he says in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 verse 17 about how we should respond. But he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That's what Solomon said. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. When you get angry quickly because you didn't stop to even ask the Lord to give you a response, and you get angry so quickly, then you deal foolishly. You are behaving foolishly. You're not behaving like the wise person that you ought to be in Christ Jesus. Look at Proverbs 15 verse 1. He said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And people of God, when we are quick to respond, and when we say things that come in from our minds, and we continue to say them, and we continue to give harsh words to the next person, respond with harsh words, then more and more anger is being stirred up in our hearts, and we do not represent Christ well, behaving in such a manner. So the Lord is calling us to wisdom. He's calling us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Look at verse 20 of James chapter 1. He said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And when we look at the definition of the word wrath, it means determined, lasting anger. It also means extreme or violent rage. And people of God, sometimes in our hearts, we have this lasting anger, this anger that is there, that's sitting there. And it boils down to the point where we become extremely angry or violent. I become violent. We become to a place where we have that terrible rage. And that's not how God wants his children to live. For the word said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So when we become angry and filled with rage, this does not produce God's righteousness. God is not honored when we allow wrath to take hold of us. People of God, the Lord is calling us to that place of allowing the word of God to supersede everything else in us. So when we come to how we respond, let us know that we have to respond according to the word of God. And that is how God is honored, when we respond according to his word. So let us come to that place of being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and knowing that our rage, our wrath does not work. The righteousness does not produce the righteous fruit of God in us. So we have to come to that place of really submitting to the Holy Spirit, yielding ourselves wholeheartedly to him, and coming to that place of knowing that we are called to represent Christ well. We are called to be ambassadors for him. We are called to be the light and the salt of this world. We are called to go forth and bear Christ's image, showing Christ to the world through our conduct, through the life that we live. Verse 21 of James chapter 1. It said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So James was saying here, since you know, because you know now that wrath, your wrath does not produce the righteous fruit of God. Because of that, you are going to do what? Lay aside, put away all the filthiness, all the corrupt things, all the bad ways, and the excesses of your naughtiness, all the things that are just not right. Put them away and receive with meekness. Receive with a spirit of submission, people of God. Receive the engrafted word. This word has to be incorporated in us. This word has to be driven in us. This word can only be incorporated into our souls through the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, we find that our souls will be filled with the word of God. That when we respond, we will respond in such a way that honors God. So we need the word to be engrafted in our souls. And that is when our souls will be rescued, he said, which is able to save your souls. So people of God, we are saved when we are born again, born of the Spirit. But that soul man needs to be saved. That soul man needs to be delivered. So the word of God is telling us that we have to do something. We have to work with the Holy Spirit. We have to lay aside all our evil ways, our corrupt ways, and our excesses of our evil deeds, all the little bad ways, and accept the word of God. Accept the truth of Jesus Christ. Accept with the heart of submission the engrafted word. The word has to be engrafted. It has to be incorporated into us. And only the Holy Spirit, as we yield to him, can bring forth that engraftment in us, which is able to save our souls. Our souls need to be saved, but we have to yield to the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who is able to do that work in us as we yield to him. Look at verse 22 of James chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James encouraged your believers to not just hear the word of God, but to practice the word. People of God, we are not people of faith unless we are practicing the word. So James encouraged them not just to be hearers, but to practice the word of God, to exercise their faith in the word, or else they are just fooling themselves. That's what James said. You're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself that you have it all together and you don't. When we just hear God's word and chose not to live it, we are to live these words. These words have to become practical to us. We have to use these words in our everyday life. Respond according to the word of God. So we have to be not just saying that we are people of faith, but we have to practice this faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Displaying love for one another. Displaying the joy of the Lord. Displaying that peace in our lives. Displaying in endurance, long suffering, we have to display meekness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. We have to be doers of the word, living God's word, bringing honor and glory to his name. James chapter 1, verse 23 said, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I'll go to verse 24 as well. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So James was saying that if any believer in Christ hear the word of God and chose not to obey, chose not to practice the word, he's like a man looking at his face in a mirror. When you look at your face in a mirror, he sees the flaws. He sees everything that needed to be fixed, but does nothing about it. He doesn't remove all the stains and the dirt and the grime, but he leaves them there, go about his business, and he immediately forgets what needs to be fixed on him. So James says, so it is with those who hear the word of God and decide not to practice it, decide not to do something about it. Showing us, people of God, when the word comes to us and when it brings that conviction, we must respond immediately. Immediate response to God's word. So we have to come to that place where we understand when the word comes, we don't want to be forgetful hearers of the word, but we want to respond immediately to the word so that we can truly reflect Christ in our everyday lives. People of God, our desire should be to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should come to be immediate responders to the word of God. As the word comes, we decide to respond to the word, to practice the word, to live by the word, and we will see the light of Christ shining through us. The world will see Christ in us and come to glorify his name. Verse 25 of James chapter 1 tells us, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So James was saying that whosoever looks into the perfect law of freedom, which is the word of God, and abide in it, or live by the word, he will not be one who forget the word that he hears, but will practice that word. James made a profound declaration that that person shall be blessed in his deed. So whatever that person does, it shall prosper. Verse 26 of James chapter 1 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So James was saying that if any among the saints seems to be religious, keeping all the rules, but not able to control his speech, he deceives his own self. This person's religion is empty. It is meaningless. And we come to the end of chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God bless you here this evening as we come to the end of chapter 1, and we will see you again next week. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us this evening. We thank you for reminding us not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. We pray, O God, through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that we will adhere to your word and that we will do your will. Have your way in our lives, we pray. Bring forth, O God, a change in the hearts of your people, that we will come to know and understand that you're calling us up higher. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise as we look to you by faith. And we pray in Jesus' name and we say amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.